Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a Critical Care Pharmacy podcast. This is episode 151. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about the ceiling dose of ketorolac, answer the drug information question, should bolus or continuous paralytics be used to prevent shivering in therapeutic hypothermia, and share a resource for interpreting laboratory data. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode151. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article from this episode was one of many recently featured in a literature digest within my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. In the Academy, you will learn critical care skills, keep up with critical care literature, and connect with other pharmacists. To learn more, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. And the article is Comparison of IV Ketorolac at 3 Single-Dose Regimens for Treating Acute Pain in the Emergency Department, a Randomized Controlled Trial. The lead author is Sergey Motov, who is at PainFreeED on Twitter. And this was published online in Annals of Emergency Medicine, December 2016. NSAIDs, especially ketorolac, are effective for a broad range of acute pain conditions, but all NSAIDs have a ceiling dose, beyond which no additional analgesic effect is seen. For ketorolac, the ceiling dose appears to be 10 milligrams, based on several studies from the 90s. While analgesic benefits stop at 10 milligrams, side effects such as bleeding are dose-related. The authors of this study sought to evaluate the analgesic efficacy of 10, 15, and 30 milligram doses of IV ketorolac in emergency department patients with acute pain. The study was a randomized double-blind trial in patients aged 18 to 65 years who presented to the ED with moderate to severe acute pain. The primary outcome was pain reduction at 30 minutes. IV morphine, 0.1 milligram per kilo, was used as rescue analgesia if the patient still desired additional pain relief after 30 minutes from when the ketorolac was given. 80 patients were enrolled in each dosing arm of the study. Each group experienced significant pain reduction at 30 minutes, and there was no difference whether the ketorolac dose was 10, 15, or 30 milligrams. Rates of rescue analgesia and adverse effects were also similar between groups. The authors concluded ketorolac has similar analgesic efficacy at IV doses of 10, 15, and 30 milligrams, showing that IV ketorolac administered at the analgesic ceiling dose, 10 milligrams, provided effective pain relief to ED patients with moderate to severe pain without increased adverse effects. I must have missed the lecture in school that discussed the ceiling dose of NSAIDs. I came across the concept years ago listening to a random lecture on freeemergencytalks.net, the resource I discussed in episode 149, and I ordered the full text of some of the original ketorolac studies from the 90s. Sure enough, 10 milligrams of ketorolac was no better than 30 milligrams. I'm stunned as to how the FDA would have approved doses of 15, 30, and even 60 milligrams of ketorolac when the ceiling dose of 10 milligrams was clear as day in these studies. Since learning this, I've never used the 30 or 60 milligram dose of ketorolac. While there was no difference in adverse effects in this study between groups, it was a single dose study. When used repeatedly, there is a clear dose-related risk of GI bleeding from ketorolac that's documented in the prescribing information. I am especially grateful to the authors of this study for highlighting this important issue in a modern trial. The drug information question for this episode is, should bolus or continuous paralytics be used to prevent shivering in therapeutic hypothermia? My answer is, bolus dosing should be tried first. Shivering in response to therapeutic hypothermia should only occur as the patient is cooling or warming, but not when they are at their target temperature. Therefore, the need for paralytics is transient in most patients who shiver during therapeutic hypothermia. Following the general principle of using the lowest paralytic dose for the shortest possible time, I prefer to use bolus doses rather than continuous infusions for patients who shiver. One of the most helpful references I used when making the transition from community to hospital-based pharmacist was the book Basic Skills in Interpreting Laboratory Data by Mary Lee. The book is written for pharmacists by a pharmacist. The book enhances the skills pharmacists need by providing essential information on common laboratory tests used to screen for or diagnose diseases and monitor the effectiveness and safety of treatment and disease severity. You can find a link to the book at the end of the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode151. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.